This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line. And today we're talking law and order. Our sheriff, Robert Arnold, is with us, Rutherford County Sheriff's Department. And we'll be inviting you to open up and call in around 8:30 this morning. Right now, though, we'll just sort of find out some of the things happening at the sheriff's office. Robert, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You had a big day yesterday. You had the official opening for your Hope Garden, the Garden of Hope.
The Garden of Hope opened up yesterday, and we did the official ribbon cutting.
Had the wrong mic on.
There we go. We had a great turnout. We had about 150, close to 200 people turn out yesterday. Want to say thank you to everybody who has been involved with the Gardens of Hope. It was a great turnout, and one thing that I learned yesterday morning with the Garden of Hope and talking about, you know, my saying that I got was, you know, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach a man a fish, you feed him for life. We found out that two of our inmates that are out there in the garden have applied, and with MTSU's help, they are now getting scholarships to go to college and start a degree in agribusiness and plant and soil science.
So you have motivated them to do that and to improve their lives.
Yes, and you know, one gentleman yesterday, once we told him that, and I didn't even think about it, he was so proud, and he said, you know, really and truly, what this Gardens of Hope have done is possibly change these guys' family tree probably for the next 10 generations.
That
for
is
the simple
exciting.
Fact of, you know, they've turned their life around, but it's up to them to keep going down this path.
Now, you've had a lot of help and a lot of guidance in this Garden of Hope.
Yes, we have. Miss Brenda Elliott, I started talking to her about it back around last October, end of October, early November. Kind of, you know, my original goal, if we got one tomato plant out of it, it was a success because we've never had a garden like this at Rutherford County. And so we started going after it and just do it, baby stepping it, and it's turned into this. Next year, hopefully, it'll be twice the size. The garden will have more people out there doing stuff. Our ultimate goal is to eventually try to get a greenhouse and have something going, you know, year round, where these inmates can be messing with the plants and working with everything all year round.
Now, as some of the inmates have seen others actually out there being a part of this and benefiting from it, have others said, I want to be a part of
that? Oh, yes. We've had to turn people down because we've only got a limited amount of people because we've only got, you know, a certain amount of officers that can watch, you know, certain amount of inmates. So, you know, we've had to turn people down saying, you know, when one leaves, and we've had several people, they start on the program, and, you know, they get out, you know, after 30, 60, 90 days, whatever. And so then we'll replace them with someone else that has applied to be a part of the program. And there's a classification system in there to make sure that you're not getting your, you know, convicted felons of, you know, really hard, hard crimes that they don't get involved in this program. It's the misdemeanors, you know, what we consider I don't know if you can really consider any crime a petty crime, but a petty crime. So those are the ones that get involved in the program, and those are the ones that, you know, we feel that we can reach.
Now, I remember when you first began talking about this Garden of Hope, you mentioned this was not going to be as its main purpose to replace the food that was being purchased. It would replace some of it, just a small amount.
Yeah, you figure that we have maybe an acre and a quarter total size garden. It's never going to feed, you know, as of Sunday, or as of yesterday, we had 783 inmates. It's never going to feed that many inmates. I mean, we'd have to probably have about a 1,000-acre garden to feed all the inmates every day, and I don't know if that would do it.
But it is teaching, as you mentioned.
It's teaching
show them how
the skill, and a lot of them have never worked together, never had those type bonds, and having to trust on other people. Plus, these guys, they're not only working in the garden, they hold classes every day. They talk about bugs. You know, they'll grab some bugs out of the garden, they'll go back, they'll learn all about those bugs, what those bugs do, the different pesticides to use on different things in the garden, the diseases that happen to certain crops. And MTSU, they've been out, you know, just about every other morning, their teachers and stuff, teaching these inmates, talking about every aspect of this, you know, working with the soil, taking soil samples. They sent it off to UT, trying to figure out what we need to do to build that soil for the best garden of, you know, and certain plants in those gardens.
So it's a learning situation for everyone involved, and that's why you've had two people already who've stepped forward and said, I want to continue this education. I want to go to college.
I want to go to college, and I want to do something with soil science for the rest of my life.
That is exciting to see that motivation happening. And with that happening, did those people who are going on to college, did they go through your GED program, or had they already earned?
I think one of them had gone through our GED program, so he got his GED there at the jail. And speaking of the GED program, we've actually got one of the highest successful graduation rates in the state of Tennessee for jails in the state. We've graduated, I think it's, last thing I was told, was 341 people total.
Wow.
The closest one, from what I was told, was Knox County, and mm-hmm. they had only graduated like 41 people, something to that effect. I mean, they hadn't even graduated 100 since their program had started. Most of the other counties, one or two here and there, and it's because of the way that we try to do the classes. We don't just give them the books and tell them to go into the pod and learn it themselves. We have, you know, teachers and stuff come in and they sit down on a day-to-day basis. We hold a classroom and we hold them accountable, but they've got, you know, tremendous amount of support. And, you know, if they're not getting something, the teachers work with them until they get it. And that's what has created our success rate.
That is exciting to see that happen, but it's even more exciting to see lives changed and repeat offenders changing their habits,
changing their lives, and just doing the right thing.
Well, now let's take a look at some of the other areas of the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center. We've had I've noticed an increase in crimes. We've seen the police reports and what have you. I'm guessing that has also been an increase in people locked up at the adult detention center.
Yeah, we've I'd say about April, we've almost increased about 100 prisoners within mm-hmm. the jail. Sunday night, we reached 801 inmates.
Wow.
In the jail. As of yesterday, we had 783. Out of that, we had 195 of them were convicted misdemeanors, 25 of them were parole violations. 157 were convicted felons with more than a year to serve. 45 of them convicted felons with less than a year to serve. Then we had 359 pretrial, so they're just sitting there waiting to go to court. They could bond out if they wanted to, or not say all of them. The majority of them could bond out if they wanted to or could afford to. But since they either do not want to or cannot afford to, or they don't have a bond, they're just sitting there waiting to go to court.
That's the largest number right
That's
there.
The largest number is our pretrial.
Is that where the growth has been from the pretrial people?
Yes. It's just people waiting to go to court. A lot of times they go to court, and it may be, a misdemeanor-type crime, and they just go to court and plea if they want to, and either they get time served and a fine, or they'll get just a little bit more time, and then they get out.
Seems like robberies are dramatically on the increase.
Robberies have been dramatically on the increase, but I will say, the guys at the sheriff's office, we've all been working great together, and we have caught so many people as they've been doing burglaries. I know everyone probably heard about the guys 2 weeks ago that robbed the disabled veterans home out off Murfreesboro Street, and I was actually involved in that. But we were right on top of it. I was heading over here to Clearview to get some lunch, and when they gave it out, and the other officer just happened to be right there on Old Woodbury. So we were all right there pretty quick. We're able to get them, recover the guy, all the veterans' money, and give it back to them. I believe it was about $1,700 in cash that these guys stole from these disabled veterans. And in the paper today, we have you know, some guys that were breaking in a house off of Leanna Road. And, you know, hats off to Deputy Lewis and Ty Downing. Ty Downing's FTO. They were right on top of it. The guys took off running through the woods. They were able to go after them, catch them, return the people's stuff that they stole out of their house. And the guys, the one was a, I believe he was a 18-year-old, and the other one was a 17-year-old. So the 18-year-old went to what we'd say big boy jail. The 17-year-old went to juvenile, and but we caught them.
Well, that, the exciting thing is you have a team over there that is really working together and solving these problems quickly.
Yes. I mean, that's all. We are all a team. We all work together to do the job for the citizens of the county, and that's what we have to do.
I noticed earlier,
we've been very successful in these robberies lately.
Earlier in the week, you had an opportunity to work together, and this is obviously not the first time, with the other law enforcement agencies in the area, mainly Murfreesboro Police, I believe. And you, again, just worked as a phenomenal team.
Yes, we do. We have a great working relationship with all the local law enforcement within Rutherford County, even the emergency management. But we even have a good working relationship with all the surrounding counties. We, you know, we've been called in by TBI and TEMA to help out with certain situations over in different counties. TEMA called us in. They had a missing boy over in Bedford County the other day. We sent our bloodhound over there, and within about 2 hours, we found the little boy for him. So, I mean, our guys have been working hard, but they've been very successful in doing their job and catching these guys and helping out people where they can help them out.
One area of concern that we thought had been fading a bit, but it seems to have come back, at least here in Rutherford County, it had been in many of the rural counties for a good while, and we're talking about methamphetamine. I know that the district attorney generals all across the state of Tennessee had put together a very strong program to reduce this problem, and it had been working. And as we said, this had been in the really rural counties where it's been a problem, and we had not seen that much of it here. Seems like we're starting to see more of that.
We're starting to see it come back as well. I mean, it's just like anything else. If there's a will, there's a way. The former governor's, Bredesen's administration, they did everything they could, and meth was pretty much almost eradicated throughout Tennessee because of them taking the products off the shelf and doing the different things that they were doing. But like I said, with a will, there's a way, and they figured out a way and started doing these little pop jar type meth labs and little things here and there. But you know, it was about, what was it, about 2 months ago, we ended up finding one of the largest meth labs in Rutherford County history, just out in Walter Hill off Jefferson Pike. And I grew up out that way.
And that's frightening because that's an area where there are a lot of families, a lot of children who are playing.
That was right across the street from a large subdivision out there off Jefferson Pike.
And, of course, you have no idea when something like that's going on. You just happen across it.
We just happened to get good information that led us to the house.
Is a house like that contaminated? I know there used to be reports that if you had meth labs in the house, the houses were ruined from now on out.
There, yes. Once a meth lab is, because meth is a chemical, it's a toxic chemical. And once it gets into the air system of the house and the different chemicals that are being cooked, there has to be a special cleanup. Whenever there is a house, we will quarantine that house, we'll lock it up. And it becomes the homeowner's responsibility, the property owner's responsibility, to clean that house. And it is quarantined, and no one can live in it until it's been properly cleaned. And that cleanup is very expensive.
What kind of price tag?
Oh, I've heard somewhere between about $5,000. It depends on the house. Depends on the size of the house. It could go up way on up there. And it's a special company that has to come out, and they've got to don the special spacesuit type things and all the different cleaners. And it depends on what it is, like a car.
I could see something like that happening to a person who has rental property.
It happens
and
all
having
the time.
To bulldoze the thing. I mean,
I would hope not, but yeah, I mean, it could potentially, you know, there's been several big meth labs that have been busted, and, you know, it gets back to economics. Is it cheaper? What's the cheapest thing to do? Bulldoze it, start over. But then, even though you bulldoze it and you carry it off,
you have to do that too.
It's got to, you know, it's got to be specially disposed of because it hasn't been properly cleaned. You know, you can't just bulldoze it and all that, because then the particles and the chemicals and stuff get into the air, and someone down the road could end up breathing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's so tricky when you're dealing with that meth stuff.
And there's no way for a person who has rental property to protect themselves, it doesn't sound like. I mean, you can't be there on the site all the time making sure that they're not doing anything illegal over there.
The big thing I would say to anybody that has rental property is, you know, just constant, you know, make sure you go into your house, check it at least once a month, you know, kind of hopefully you know who you're renting to. I don't know if there's any insurance policies out there that, you know, would be for a renter, you know, in case something like that was to happen. That might be something you ask your insurance company.
But it's one of those frightening things. And as a homeowner who is renting property, looks like they might not be able to always have access to that property because of the rights of the person that is renting.
Well, I think if you put it in your contract, or if you're the one that make sure you put it in your contract to say you're going to change out the air filter in the house every month, that could give you access to your property.
That's a good idea. 893-1450. We're going to pause and check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back. And in this segment, this is when we open up the phone line. 893-1450. I know you have questions after what we've been talking about. 893-1450. Do some of you have rental property? Do meth labs worry you? 893-1450. We'll be right back.
Break in with traffic, news, and weather bulletins anytime. Good Neighbor Talk is your 24/7 connection. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I had a very serious accident. I had Family Staffing come to me, and they have reached out. They have touched me in every way that they possibly could touch my heart.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
It's an opportunity for all of us to enjoy the aging process.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, I'm Jim Matthews with Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been in this organization for almost 20 years now, and we're excited about our new owners and what's going on. I think we'll be able to offer you increasing value, customer satisfaction, and selection. So come see us at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Ford of Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Quality automotive repair service and repair at honest, fair prices. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Call 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning. We are seeing very heavy rush hour volume along Interstate 24 as you're making your way through Smyrna and into Davidson County. So be careful on this Wednesday morning commute. Also very heavy stop-and-go traffic, Murfreesboro Road throughout Smyrna and Laverne. And your points of access to the interstate, very busy at this time, especially Old Ford Parkway. Heads up hair salons, barbers, hair designers, and colors for the entire family. 9 locations, sensibly priced for over 30 years. Go online, headsupaircuttingsalon.com. I'm Charlie Sonia, and it's WGNS Traffic.
Thank you, Charlie. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We have a chance for sprinkles today. Otherwise, lots of sunshine, a high temperature near 90, and a calm wind becoming south-southwest. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Mandy Felluber. Currently 68.
Hello, this is Freedom Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We're conveniently located at 2230 Mercury Boulevard near the South Rutherford Boulevard. There's a difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Member FDIC.
Don't throw away old flags. WGNS Murfreesboro retires Old Glory with respect. Bring those tattered Bibles here too. We're more than talk.
Understand me. To date with you, to stay up late with you, cuddling when the lights are low.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 893-1450. We're talking law and order today, 893-1450. Sheriff Robert Arnold is our guest this morning, and let's go to the phones. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Arnold.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I've seen one of these news shows lately. They claim that Tennessee was number one in meth production. What do you think about that? But before that, I got a comment about that. To me, I think that they ought to control the other kind of stuff that they use to produce it, because it's more than just Sudafed that they're using. It's got to be all kinds of other stuff that they're using, and they ought to look into controlling those other chemicals as well, because this stuff here is particularly bad. When they're under the influence of it, they don't have no fear and they don't have no pain, and it's not like using any other kind of. I mean, all kinds of drugs is bad. Don't get me wrong, but this stuff here is particularly bad. Not just for civilians, but law enforcement. There's been situations where law enforcement has encountered these people when they're under the influence of this, and they just didn't have no fear of them at all. And the way this stuff makes these addicts react to it, it's just bad stuff, and y'all need to do whatever you can to control it. And I think one way of doing that is controlling the chemicals that they use to produce it. And is there anything like it? They talk about doing anything like that, the legislature or anything like that. I think that's where we need to start at, and where we can get this under control. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. A lot of the chemicals that they use to make this meth, they're just regular household stuff. You go to Kroger and just buy it off the shelf, or you go to Home Depot, buy the paint thinner. So it's very hard to kind of control the other things that are involved in making meth. It's, the pseudoephedrine is the big thing, and the state has come down this past year with more legislation on how you go about buying it now. I mean, if you go to the Walgreens and just have a sniffle and you need something that has pseudoephed in it, you've got to give them your driver's license. You've got to do they got to basically type you into a system. It's a statewide system, and within a certain amount of time, you're only allowed to buy so much product that has Sudafed in it. If you start trying to buy large quantities and stuff, they let the local law enforcement know that, hey, someone here is trying to buy large amounts of pseudoephedrine, so you might want to kind of check them out, see what they're doing. So they just passed those laws this year. But it's kind of hard to control the other parts in the meth stuff, just to the fact that, there's so many different little products you can use to make the meth. It's kind of like, they don't use it in there, but Windex. Say they used Windex in making meth. You can't really control everybody at Kroger who's buying Windex. So it would be nice, but you know, we still do live in America where we are free to do certain things, you know, so it's just kind of hard. You just kind of have to kind of control what you can control.
He mentioned something that I had never heard before, and that's the meth user has no fear and no pain. That really makes them dangerous folks.
When they're on meth, I mean, they could stay up for 3-4 days. Their mind, their brain's not hitting on all 8 cylinders, and so they don't feel a lot of things. They are very dangerous to deal with. They get what we call meth bugs, is where they're very nervous, very skittish. Mm-hmm. About everything and everybody. They'll be picking at their skin, thinking that the bugs are crawling on them, and they're always picking, doing things. They're just very dangerous people all the way around. Plus, once you're a meth addict and you're on meth a lot, literally meth is coming out of you, you know, as you're sweating and stuff like that. When we get people in jail that are big-time meth addicts and all that, and they've got all these sores and stuff, we've got to watch and make sure that they take, you know, a shower at least every day. Sometimes we'll make them take two showers a day because as they're in that environment, they're detoxing. This stuff is coming out of their skin, and they'll literally try to eat their their sores, trying to get more meth back into their system. So, you know, we have to make sure they take showers so they clean off.
Looks like that would almost contaminate the jail.
Well, it's not that much or anything like that. That's why we do showers all the time.
Okay. 893-1450 is our phone number. If you have a question for Sheriff Robert Arnold this morning, 893-1450. $550,000 for some cars. That gets your attention.
Yes, yes, it does. We asked back in February. We started talking about all the different monies we were saving. We asked Public Safety and Budget and Finance Committee, we had an idea, and if they would support us on the idea, with all the different monies that we saved the county here and there. Basically, over the past 4 years, the county had cut the budget on cars, trying to keep up with the budget process. We'd gotten to cars that had 185,000 miles. We had a couple cars with over 200 and something thousand miles on them. So we were in desperate need of cars, and we just thought outside the box and thought we would ask. At the end of the year, with our leftover fund balance, with all the money we saved, if the county would give us that money back to kind of catch us up on some of the vehicles that we were lacking. Some of our vehicles had kind of gotten a little dangerous, and so we are in the process of ordering. We ordered 20 cars 2 days ago. And I signed those POs to send up to the courthouse to order those cars. But it was just an idea that we had, and thankfully the commission supported us on it. But basically the only thing I can do is ask. You know, I ask the commission for anything that we do need, and it's up to them to vote on it and say whether, yes, we get it or no, we don't get it. But it was a need that we desperately had, and so we're replacing those vehicles and getting the more mileage cars off the road.
Some of the patrol cars, I guess the most popular one was the old Ford Crown Victoria, and they're not making that anymore.
They're not. Alexander down here, they had 22 on the lot. That's the last that they're going to get. We're getting 20 of them, and that's it for the Crown Vic. I went to a seminar a little while back and looked at the new Ford. They're coming out with a new Ford vehicle for law enforcement. And personally, I didn't feel comfortable in it like you do a Crown Vic. It's not a big vehicle. It's not rear-wheel drive. It's front-wheel drive. Chevrolet is coming out with their new Caprice. It's rear-wheel drive. It's a vehicle that they have and they produce in Australia. And they're shipping it over here. Well, they haven't come out with a price tag yet, but right now that's looking where most law enforcement is going with Chevrolet.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Arnold.
Good morning, Bart. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
Good. This is Don Ash. I just want to call the sheriff and tell him how much I appreciate him and his staff doing these programs. That GED program is not the only thing they're doing. They're having parenting classes. We have a real problem with people getting out of jail about making that transition. The sheriff is leading that charge to try to help people make that transition to get out of jail and become citizens here and taxpayers again. And then he's also been very supportive of our drug court program and DUI court. So I just want to call Sheriff Arnold and tell him thank you. And I, like I said, I really think it's making a big impact. I'm seeing more and more people come up now to court and say, when they're asking for probation, they say, well, I've completed this program at the jail, I've completed that program at the jail. And it's really very positive to try to help these people, because they're going to get out eventually. And what we've got to do is, when they get out, we've got to try to get them in a position where they can get jobs and not go back in the same neighborhood they were before. But I just want to call the good sheriff and say thank you, and thanks to the staff, and I'll get off the line. I hope you have a great day, Bart.
Judge, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before you leave, if you would, give us an update on the drug court program. I know you recently had a graduating class, and you're about to start another one. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we've had, so far, Bart, we've had 185 people graduate from drug court. Our recidivism rate is less than 18%, and that means is that that's who gets rearrested. Most of our rearrests are driving without a license, so we're trying to work on that. We, too, require or make best efforts for people to get their GEDs. And we've also got a DUI court that we've been running for about a year and a half. I think we've had almost 20 people graduate from that, and nobody's been rearrested on that program. So it's a great thing. We have a great staff. Mary Snyder is our director over there, and we do therapy and drug screens, everything else. But it's been a blessing in my life to be involved in it, to watch people who fight this disease of addiction trying to turn things around. So if it wasn't for having a community like Rutherford County and friends at WGNS and other folks like y'all, it would be impossible to have a drug court and a DUI court program. So it only works because we live in such a great community.
Very definitely. Judge Don Ash,
thanks,
you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
893-1450. It's people like that that make this community really what it is.
He's got an excellent program up there with those two programs.
Very definitely. 893-1450 is our number if you have any questions or comments. We are very close to September the 11th, 9/11. It's going to be a very special year this year. You have actually one of the big steel beams from the World Trade Center.
From World Trade Center 2. We've got one of the beams out of it. We're one of the only places in the country that has actually got a piece of anything from the World Trade Center's this large. They are very particular on what they do with that. But we are creating a monument for it. I believe you've had it on your website here,
mm-hmm.
kind of the pictures of the monument. We have sold quite a few bricks. Naturally, we're going to be selling as many as we can to build this monument. We're hoping to have at least the steel at the angle it's going to be at on September 11th. And you know, we've had quite a few donations. We had a guy the other day donate the steel that's going to be put around it, and he would place it where it needs to be placed for free. All this is everything is being donated and selling the bricks and all that, so it's not costing taxpayers anything, but we are very privileged to have this and to build this monument, and it's only because of our September 11th program that we're having, that we've had for the past 10 years. So it's a very somber anniversary, but we're very fortunate to have this.
This is an event you definitely want to be in attendance, and if you have children, definitely have them there also.
Yes. And if anyone's interested in ordering a brick, please go to our Facebook page or just call the sheriff's office at 898-7770 and ask to speak to the community service unit or Sergeant Jimmy Cassidy and tell them that you would like to purchase a brick. They're $50 or $100, depends on what size you would like. And your name will be placed on that brick, and it will be there for eternity.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold.
Yes, the sheriff was talking about the meth. 15 years ago in Indiana, my niece died from a meth, and it's a horrible thing to see.
Mm.
It's like you said, they're like walking skeletons.
Walking zombies.
They don't eat. They don't sleep. And what they do to get the meth is just, you know, prostitution, whatever they can do to get it. And it, you know, people don't realize it's been around. I mean, in Indiana, it was 20 years ago. It was, the big thing then. And I think it's, in some areas, it's just now getting worse. But, people really, really need to, when you can tell them when you see them. I mean, it's not like your normal, drug person. Because, like you said, they just look like a walking zombie, and they're just, it's really bad, So
I'm sorry for your loss.
Anyone who, suspects if they have a family member or anything that has problems like that really, really needs to, intervene. It was, there was nothing we could do for our niece. So it was really, really sad. But, and another thing, my daughter is the head of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, so she really appreciates anything you do in the county for the DUI. So, we're glad you're doing that kind of stuff too. So, I just wanted to tell people when they see a family member that's, on the meth and knows they're on the meth, to try to do something, as quickly as they can to maybe help prevent it. So, thank you.
Thank you for sharing
thank
that.
You.
Boy, what a, you just can't imagine it being in your family. It can happen to anybody.
It can happen to anybody. Any social setting, anything. It can happen to anybody, no matter what. And once it gets a hold of you, it's hard to break. Mm. It really is, because it has a hold on you like nothing else.
We appreciate that lady calling and sharing that with us today. That hopefully helps other people avoid being a victim of that.
Yes.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Arnold.
Bart.
Hey, good morning.
Am I talking to you? Are you talking to me?
Yeah, we're talking to each other. How are you today?
this is Millie.
Hi,
and
Millie.
You've left the subject of the garden, but if it's okay, I'd still like to comment on it.
Sure.
I thought that is one of the greatest things that's happened to the Sheriff's Department. Remember when I was with the Humane, the workhouse young man was permitted to come out and help us at the rabies control.
Mm-hmm.
And I never will forget some of the young boys. They were just delighted when I could come and pick them up to work. And they were so delighted to get out of the, workhouse even. And I think that the garden is just such one of the greatest things that you have done, Sheriff Arnold. And I wish that some of the, maybe there's some more land that the city owns or the county owns, that you could even increase it next year.
Well, we're going to increase it next year on our own property. We've got, we've got about 20 acres there for our total complex, and we've got some more area that we're going to try to increase it. We're talking about doing pumpkins next year. And basically, if we get it going the way we would like to, there on the other side where the garden is, we're going to do that in pumpkins and let the inmates who work it and all that, they can give their family a pumpkin, at Halloween. But then also we probably just give away the rest of the pumpkins just to the citizens of the county.
Well, we're retired, and it's the first garden we've had in 25 years. And can you believe we have had peas, okra, tomatoes, and we've got maybe 500 square feet in a garden. And I thought, if everybody knew how to raise a garden, especially the people that are unemployed, it has probably cut my grocery bill in more than half, and just not even thinking about the benefit of the fresh vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, is there any way that you could get the young men and girls into the, I think the technical school is still in Smyrna, I think. And if so, we're so short of electricians and plumbers and what have you in this community. And when they come out after serving their time, it's so difficult for them to get a job, because I have had some young men that's helped me here in the yard over, different years that have a record and not, real bad and all, but people just can't, don't want to hire them. But if they had some real technical trade, like being an electrician or a plumber or whatever, welder, then I think more companies, especially as the economy picks up, would be more likely to take a chance on these young people.
Good point.
Exactly, and it's funny you say that, because we have talked with, and I can't think of the name of the school, it's just right down there at the end of Highway 99.
Tennessee Technology Center.
Tennessee Technology Center. Talking with them, I talked to their dean about 2 months ago, and we're trying to figure out some way with the state and working with them and getting them to come to the jail to kind of put on some classes there for the inmates and kind of getting them accepted when they get out to kind of get into their school and finish out what they're doing. So we are definitely thinking outside the box like that and trying to figure out different things, because it's so hard for a person who has been convicted of a crime and stuff to go back out, because naturally on every employment application they ask you that, and most of the time people won't hire them because of that, and I understand, I think most people understand that, but there comes a point where we have to give someone a chance when it comes to jobs and stuff. I've had numerous inmates call me that I've known over the years and asked me, hey, can you help me get a job? I put in applications here, here, and here. And I've gone by, stopped by different places for them and said, hey, you know, I've known this guy. He's a decent person. He's had some problems here and there, but, you know, he's called me and told me he's kind of wanting to straighten some things out. And if you could just give him an interview and think that he deserves a chance, please just help him out, because if he doesn't find a job, then he's going to go back to a life of crime. And I had one guy tell me the other day that I've known since I was in elementary school. He said, you know me, I've sold dope all my life. He said, you know, I don't know anything else, but I'm wanting to start and get a job and just kind of go the right direction. I'm tired of being locked up. I got a little girl. And I went around to a couple of places, a couple auto parts places, and just asked, hey, you know, he's told you what he's done. I know what he's done. He seems like he's wanting a chance. Please just, you know, if you think he's worthy of a chance, just give him a chance. And I'll be honest, I hadn't gone back to check to see if they hired him, but I hadn't heard back from him. So hopefully, you know, with a couple places I went to, maybe somebody hired him.
Very good. Millie, thank you for calling. And the lady over at Tennessee Technology Center, Carol Perrier, does
yes,
a phenomenal
job over there.
Yes.
893-1450. We've got some other folks on the line. We're going to check on the weather. We'll be back. If you're on the line, hold on. You're coming up next with the sheriff.
WGNS Murfreesboro listens to you, and that's why your opinion counts.
Look, we gotta have serious talk.
Hey, we care.
I just want to apologize.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
From the tallest tower in the city limits of Murfreesboro to every radio in the land, WGNS AM-FM is everywhere you need us to be. Weather Eye.
We have a chance for sprinkles today, otherwise lots of sunshine, a high temperature near 90, and a calm wind becoming south-southwest. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Currently 68.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. We're back again. Sheriff Robert Arnold is our guest this morning from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. Our phone number is 893-1450. 893-1450 if you have a question or a comment on any of the topics that we're talking about this morning, give us a call. 893-1450. The sheriff is with us at least for about 5 more minutes. And obviously, a lot of interest in the 9/11, a lot of interest in problems created by meth this morning. Just a whole lot of things being discussed today. Let's touch a little bit more on the bricks, because people need to get bricks. That not only is a lasting memory for you and certain family members who've really been special in your lives, but it's a way to help make this 9/11 shrine there so we never forget 9/11.
Yes.
How can people do this again?
They can contact the sheriff's office, just call an 898-7770. Speaking with the community service portion of the sheriff's office, Sergeant Jimmy Cassidy, and tell them that they would like to purchase a brick. There's two different size bricks. There's a 6x6 and a 6x12. For the 6x6 is $50. The 6x12 is $100. You'll fill out a form with what you would like to inscribe into it, and it will be placed when we place all of them down in the monument for eternity. It's something that will, that's how we're funding building this monument. So, you know, it's gonna take us a while to get it fully complete, but once we get it complete, it will be a very beautiful monument. It'll have four flagpoles at each corner for north, south, east, and west. They'll fly the two of the American flags, they'll fly the two Tennessee state flags, and then every so often we'll fly every branch of the military on every flagpole. So we've kind of got the idea of how we're going to do it. Check out WGNS's website to see a picture of what the proposal is going to be, the finished product, when we get it finished.
Let's see if we can't squeeze in one more phone call this morning. You're on WGNS with Sheriff Robert Arnold.
Yes, Bob, appreciate you taking my call. And Sheriff Arnold, I think you're doing a great job. This is a completely different topic I think y'all touched on today. I was just wanting to ask Sheriff Arnold if bloodhounds or search dogs are used anymore in cases of people that turn up missing.
Yes. We have one bloodhound that we had the state of Tennessee gave us. It's been certified. And then we have several of our dogs that we regularly use for drugs that are also trained for scent for, you know, if we give them a scent for a human that they can track.
The reason I was asking on the Holly Bobo case, I kind of was keeping up with that and whatnot. And it seems like I never did hear anything of them using bloodhounds or anything to track her. It seems like they just got a bunch of volunteers together in their four-wheelers, and it seems like to me they contaminated the search area and whatnot, and kind of hindered any kind of search with bloodhounds. And I'm not sure if they just used bloodhounds just right during the time when she turned up missing. And I know we had a woman turned up missing in our county, and they found her car burned out in Rutherford County and whatnot. I wasn't sure if the bloodhound was used in that situation or not. And I'll just appreciate the work you're doing, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, we use the bloodhounds on all missing person cases. We use all our dogs. You know, sometimes our dogs, well, it's just about 3 weeks ago, we were out on a Sunday night out Fosterville Road. We had a guy that had a medical emergency, and he kind of took off into the woods because he wasn't in his right mind, and we had to find him. And so we called in our dogs searching for the guy. We wore all of our dogs out trying to search for him. We called in the state. They came in. We had to call in THP's helicopter. It took us about 2.5 hours, but we finally did find the guy. And we're able to rush him off to the hospital and get his medical emergency taken care of. So we use the dogs every chance we get because they are a tool. And, you know, that's what we have them for.
Sheriff Robert Arnold, our guest this morning on the Action Line, talking about the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, Law and Order, and, of course, the 9/11 event coming up. Sheriff Arnold, thank you for joining us
today.
Thank
you, Bart. Thank you.
We'll be talking more about lawns and gardens tomorrow. Maybe not the garden that Sheriff Arnold was talking about, but other gardens, your garden, tomorrow morning, right here on WGNS Murfreesboro.